You are Locked On Twins, your daily Minnesota Twins podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And welcome to the Locked On Minnesota Twins podcast. Today is Monday, September 13th, and I'm your gracious host, Nash Walker. Today's episode is brought to you by Locked On MLB. Join walking baseball encyclopedia Paul Francis Sullivan, please call him Sully, every day on Locked On MLB for a unique look at the majors, both present and past, featuring exciting guest interviews and routine check-ins from the Locked On MLB Network's team of local experts. Subscribe to Locked On MLB today on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts. Again, Nash Walker, writer at Twins Daily, lifelong Twins fan, bringing you 5 days a week coverage on the Minnesota Twins. Not a good weekend for them at home against Kansas City. They dropped 2 out of 3. Bailey Ober pitched well. We'll talk about Bailey today. And what went well, and look at his last, 12 starts and how good he's been since July 1st. And then they go to New York for a one-off today. And I think in a season like this, when the Twins have obviously been so disappointing, you just want to salvage something. You want to be able to say, we went to Yankee Stadium. The Yankees are in the midst of a wild card race. They're trying to make the wild card game, trying to stay in it. Been playing terrible baseball. And it doesn't matter where the Yankees are, whether they're playing super well, they'll continue to play super well against the Twins. Whether they're in a huge rut offensively, they will break out when they play the Twins. If they aren't pitching well, they'll pitch well when they face the Twins. When they need a win, they'll get that win if it's against the Twins. It is a big brother, little brother situation, and I think that doesn't feel good for Twins fans at all. Of course that doesn't. It's awful the way that the Yankees have dominated the team in not only the playoffs. Like, that hurts doubly, triply, quadruply when you lose in the playoffs. You're 0-13 against them in the last 13 meetings, but they whoop the Twins all the time. Like, they constantly whoop the Twins. The Twins in 2019, one of their best teams ever, the Yankees still found a way to whoop them in both the regular season and in the playoffs. And it's like, it never ends. And you think, like, one of these times, one of these series, one of these years, it has to end. And it has to end at some point. They play the Yankees a lot. They go to Yankee Stadium every summer. The Yankees come to Target Field every single summer. They've played them in the playoffs a lot. And still, it just continues to go in this way. And so, when they started today, it's Luis Gil on the mound. Twins traded Luis Gil when he was very, very young, 18 years old, I think, in rookie ball for Jake Cave in 2018. It was setting up that way again, right? It's like this former top prospect, or this former Twins prospect who then became a top prospect, now is dominating in the majors with great stuff. I mean, him and Luis Patino, Patino's in Tampa Bay, remind me a lot of each other. Just huge fastball, big time slider, still developing a changeup. But Luis Gil is nasty, and he's going today at Yankee Stadium. And so it's just setting up in that way. It's like, oh, he's going to dominate the Twins today, right? It just set up. The narrative was so perfect, and that's not how it went. And it was so refreshing to see a change of pace early on in this game. The Twins jumped out right away. Jorge Polanco, 2-run homer. Polo on the season now has 30 home runs on September 13th. Obviously a career high. It is the most by a switch hitter in Minnesota Twins history. He's been worth 4.2 wins above replacement at Fangraphs. He's dang near 5 at Baseball Reference. Or he's over 5, actually. He's dang near 6 at Baseball Reference. He's hitting .279, slugging .522, on-base .334. Still has the great on-base skills, solid on-base skills, I should say, and is slugging the ball and hitting for a high average and for power. And really just kind of carrying the offense in a lot of ways. Byron Buxton also homered. Miguel Sano homered. I talked a lot about Miggy last week in an episode. You'll listen to that. Questions, and the biggest question is, how does he finish? And he had a really nice day. He was 3-for-5 at the plate today. I think that matters. I think it matters for what the Twins do with him this offseason, what they do with other guys this offseason, how he finishes. But go listen to that episode if you want to hear more about Miguel Sano. Buxton, I mentioned, if not for anything else, like, I know a lot of Twins fans are done this year. Like, they're done watching and they're done spending their time watching this team, and I understand that. But if for nothing else, there's like 4 or 5 guys, and there are questions that are interesting, like how Sano finishes is one of them. There's like 4 or 5 guys that are really worth watching, definitely like worth watching. Jorge Polanco is one of them for sure. Byron Buxton always, like, just enjoying when he's on the field is really it's something you need to appreciate, because it's not, we don't get it a whole lot. Like, you don't get it as much as you'd like, and he's such a talent. Hits that home run today. He singled in this game. He walked late against Aroldis Chapman. 43 games this year, Byron Buxton, hitting .302. On base, .344, slugging .633. He's got 14 homers in 43 games. Byron Buxton has been worth 3 wins above replacement in 43 games. I mean, I think that's like a 9 WAR pace, and he wouldn't reach 9 WAR, but I think he's definitely a 7 or 8, an 8 win player, which is like Tatis, Trout. You know, it's in that category, and that's what we know that he's capable of doing. Hits another home run today. He's been just really, really good. I mean, all year, and he had a little stretch there off the injured list where he wasn't very good, but he just impacts the game in so many ways. I've talked a lot about Buck, and, you know, I like that Twins fans respond to highlights of him on the Twins Twitter account and say, pay that man, because I remember, I think it was the Tigers tweeted when they extended Jonathan Scope, like, we heard you, we paid that man, or it was the White Sox when they extended Lance Lynn, and I think that does matter, like, seeing the fan base just kind of rally to urge the Twins to extend Byron Buxton. I think it's a fun thing to see, and I hope it happens. And I'm waiting for the day the Twins tweet and say, we heard you and we've extended Byron Buxton. And I really hope that day comes, whether it's this offseason or next year, whenever it is. I hope that we see that, because there's no one like him. There's no one like him. And what he does on the field is a marvel. So just continue to appreciate Byron Buxton. I know I do every single day. I try to, and you see his name in the lineup. Just appreciate it. Let's talk more about this game and what went wrong, because clearly the Twins didn't win at Yankee Stadium. New day, same stuff. Let's talk about it after the break. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live, another that lets you stream your favorite shows, you're watching sports highlights on your phone, and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for the good stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all that entertainment you love without the hassle, and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings your live TV and on-demand favorites together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, there's no annual contract. So get rid of that clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required. Content varies by package. That's DirecTV.com. So they get up 5-0 in this game. John Gant gets hurt in the first inning, so this turned into a bullpen game. And that, it always makes it more painful, because when you use your whole bullpen, you have a lead, and they pitch well for much of the day, and then you lose. It's like, wow, you just cooked the bullpen for nothing. And that's kind of what happened today. But, I mean, it doesn't matter for the Twins in the long run whether the bullpen's cooked. But still, you want them to win. You want them to be in the best position to win. Tyler Duffy threw like 40 pitches today. Didn't get any calls. Like, Jeff Nelson was terrible behind the plate. I complain about umps. Like, I get upset about calls, and it does impact a lot of things. And, you know, I am in the robo-ump category, I think, just because I do believe that it's an impossible thing for a human to do. I don't think you can legitimately make the right calls a majority of the time. Like, I just think it's too hard. And Jeff Nelson was bad today, led to an Aaron Judge 3-run homer. What are you going to do? I mean, you can't control the umpire, and I know it sucks, but it's like, what are you going to do? And I just look and go, you have 2 outs in the inning. Just get the third out. Like, don't let Aaron Judge hit a 3-run homer off you. That cutter was a terrible pitch. We've seen it so many times from Colomé. Just don't let that happen. Like, don't control what you can control, make a good pitch and try to get out of the inning. And Aaron Judge is a great hitter and obviously like is a tough out, but I'm not going to blame the ump for that inning when you could have avoided giving up a 3-run home run by just making a good pitch or making a couple good pitches. And that's kind of what it comes back to for me. There are times when like an ump, I think, single-handedly impacts an inning or a game, but I mean, Colomé gave up a 3-run homer. They were up 5-2 in that case. Like, they were up 5-2. And the ump can make some bad calls, and you can give up a run because of it. But 3-run homer, I know Judge doesn't get to the plate, but he got to the plate. That's the reality. Like, make the pitch. Get him out. And that's just, we haven't seen that consistently enough. And in these bad Twins losses, it's the same thing. It's like they get this early lead. They don't add on. That's another thing. They just didn't add on after Buxton's homer. They didn't score again for the rest of the game. That was early. And then they blow it late, right? They let the Yankees hang around. They didn't make those pitches. They didn't get those outs, and they blew it. Someone who pitched very, very well today, Luke Farrell. 20 2/3 innings this year for the Twins. Farrell was on the injured list for a while, 60-day IL, and then he came off recently. 1.31 ERA and 21 strikeouts. He's been, I would say, their lone relief lottery ticket that has worked this year. Luke Farrell's been really, really good for them, and I was excited about him. Like, good slider as a righty. I think he has filled that Matt Whistler role in a obviously much smaller percentage of innings than Whistler last year. But I think Luke Farrell's been a bright spot in the bullpen when he's pitched. I think he's pitched very, very well. Speaking of young relievers, Yovani Moran was called up this weekend. We've talked a lot about Moran. The changeup, he's a left-handed reliever. He does have ridiculous numbers in the minor leagues, and we've talked about him a lot this year because as the Twins season went sour, and it feels like it went sour the second week of April and never turned back, we talked about who could be potentially called up, and for a bullpen that was really, really bad before the break, it was like, let's give Dakota Chalmers a chance, who's DFA'd. Let's give Yovani Moran a chance. Let's give Yennier Cano a chance. Maybe Jordan Gore get him up quickly. Like, let's give these guys chances. And Moran was one that you always circled because he has such good numbers in the minors. And you look at the batting lines, it's crazy. Like, righties and lefties just really struggle to do anything against him. And he has too many walks in the minors. But the changeup's very exciting. I thought he threw a really nasty changeup. I think it was to Nicky Lopez and got him to swing and miss. I mean, that thing is a wiffle ball. I mean, he just kind of tosses it up there, and it floats in the zone and then dips at the last second. It's a really great pitch. He went 1 1/3, faced 8 batters, 2 hits, 2 walks, 2 strikeouts. I got 2 other outs. And I think Moran's a guy that they're going to build around in the bullpen. I think he's exciting. I like his stuff. You know, fastball was still 92-93 in that zone, and the changeup is just nasty. I like Yovani Moran a lot. I think he's going to be a part of the future in this bullpen. Bailey Ober, in his last 12 starts, 58 1/3, 3.39 ERA, 3.86 FIP, 26% strikeout rate, walk rate below 5%. He's already been, even with his struggles early on, is already above league average as a pitcher this year. 104 ERA plus, I believe, is the number, which means that his ERA is 4% better than league average this year already, and that includes when he got off to that rough start, like I said, and has really put it together since July 1st. The command is the biggest thing, and then in the fastball, I mean, I think he, even when he gets behind in counts, finds ways to get back in. I think he mixes his pitches very, very well, and I think he's just been so solid for the Twins. And I think if he gives you this in a full season, his last 58 1/3, like, we're looking at a decently large sample now. 3.39 ERA, I mean, that would help the Twins immensely next year. And Matt Brown and I talked about Ober and what would constitute, like, right now a successful season for him next year, and, like, right around league average. I mean, that's what you're looking for from a guy who was not a top prospect, but did put up great numbers in the minors. Like, if you can develop those types of guys to add some depth to your rotation, that's going to help a ton. And we still need, like, we're still going to wait and see if they can develop a frontline starter or two. But the more of these guys you develop, the more that it helps you in the long run at just building a deeper rotation. And I think Bailey Ober has given us a lot of reasons to be excited about him and hopefully be a little bit more excited about the rotation with him and Joe Ryan next year. Let's talk about some more notes, Taylor Rogers, and then we'll wrap up this Yankees game and look ahead after the break. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. These bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. Built Bar has 12 original flavors, but they've added 6 new flavors as well, and these improved Built Bars are even deliciouser. Plus, Built Bars are healthy. Built Bar is great for the health-conscious guy. You can lose or maintain weight while indulging in a delicious treat. The bars are low-calorie, low-sugar, full of protein, full of fiber, and great for a keto diet. And the peanut butter bar, only 5 grams of net carbs for a type 1 diabetic like me. That is huge. Plus, right now, Built Bar has reset the promo code for this relaunch, so listen closely. You get a free cooler with your purchase while supplies last. If you go to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKED15, you also get 15% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at BuiltBar.com. My favorite flavors include the coconut almond, the peanut butter, the banana bread. Use promo code LOCKED15 at BuiltBar.com. Just a terrible break. Taylor Rogers done for the season. Finger injury. And yeah, I mean, he is a huge question mark for next year. I think that there is a chance that he is not tendered this offseason. I think there's a chance of it. I think if Taylor Rogers, and we'll talk about all the arbitration numbers this offseason and the decisions and what I think. I think if Taylor Rogers wasn't such a leader on this team and in this bullpen, it might be more of a question. I still think that there's a chance he's non-tender just because the number is going to be big for a guy coming off a finger injury. It's going to be $8 or $9 million, I think, in arbitration his final year before free agency. I think there's a chance that they either don't pay him that or that they pick it up and trade him. But who knows right now with his value? You know, I think Taylor Rogers is criminally underrated by the fan base, and I just think around the league. I think Rogers, when he's healthy, is so tough. I think his fastball sinker combo is so nice. And in 2020, we saw him struggle, but we looked deeper into the numbers and found out that a lot of that was dink and dunk bad luck, and he turned it around this year. And when you look at the final numbers for him, it's not going to look as good as what he actually was because he had that blow-up outing. And it's not like it didn't happen. It did happen, but he had a blow-up outing right before the All-Star break where the Tigers, I think, well, he gave up a grand slam to the Tigers. And that kind of, if you're a reliever and you have like a 4 or 5 earned run inning, it impacts you for the rest of the season because you just don't have a lot of innings to show for in a full season. Like if you're a starter, you can make up for that, but it's harder for a reliever. He was really good, and he was really, really solid for the Twins in a time when their bullpen struggled massively early this year. Reminded me a lot of 2019, the way he kind of put the bullpen on his back at times. And I really like Taylor Rogers a lot. I mean, how can you not like T-Rog? He's great. I mean, as a person, obviously great leader for them. He's the MLBPA rep for them. He's the leader of the bullpen. And then as a player, I mean, he's just solid can be. We've seen just elite periods and stretches from him as well. I hope he has a healthy offseason and comes back strong. I hope the Twins keep him. But I do think that there's a chance there's some movement with Taylor Rogers this offseason, certainly. And I think with this bullpen on the whole, I think you're going to see guys like Moran and Yennier Cano, I think you're going to see it fill out quickly. A bullpen can be filled out quickly. And I think it's true with the rotation at times as well. Like, I think when you look at a rotation, you go, oh my goodness, they have 4 empty spots in the rotation. Like, you'll be surprised how quickly that can be filled. But I think that's also true for a bullpen. Like, you look at the Twins bullpen, you go, oh my goodness, they have at least 5 holes. But then you think about, I think that they will have a younger, more prospect heavy bullpen next year because their focus should be on getting quality starting pitching, not quantity of starting pitching, quality starting pitching. And if they need to spend more for quality and get less in terms of quantity, they need to do that this year. Like, mix it up, go for the big guy, land it, you know, land Marcus Stroman, land Kevin Gausman, try to land someone as best you can that's in the quality tier. And in order to do that, I think they're going to have to make some sacrifices elsewhere in terms of payroll, like not spending a ton on the bullpen. I don't think they like to do that anyway, but I think there'll be some fans who are going to say after what happened in the first half of this season, you should be investing in the bullpen. I don't necessarily think that's wrong, but my opinion is that it will be more prospect heavy. I think Rogers and Duffy will probably both be back. And I think you build around Rogers, Duffy, Thielbar, Moran. I think Yennier Cano is going to be in the mix. I think you're going to see potentially them move a starter to the bullpen like Matt Cantorino. You know, Jorge Alcala's back there, and I'm hopeful that he'll be better next year, at least more consistent. We've seen him be dominant this year, but just not consistently. I still think with his stuff, like, it's impossible for him not to be effective if he's throwing strikes. I think that's a certainty, but you never know. You know, it's hard with prospects and guys coming up to always count on them completely, even if they have great stuff. But I think they have something to work around here, and I think they may only require one or two bullpen signings if they want to do it that way and go more prospect heavy. Again, I think part of the fan base is going to hate that, and I think they'll have a right to be critical of that. I think that's what they're going to do. I think they're going to rely on these younger guys. I think they're going to rely on Duffy and Rogers to continue to hold down the back end. Even though I'd say both are question marks, I think Duffy with his control this year, he had a bad outing today. I know that, again, he should have gotten out of it if the ump was correct in his calls. But still, the walk numbers this year, he has more walks this year than he had in 2018, 2019, and 2020 combined, Tyler Duffy. The control is it's weird, and the velocity was down in spring training, has continued to be down this year. He's a question mark, I think, in some ways, and Rogers certainly coming off the injury is a question mark. But if you feel at least decently confident in those two, I think you still continue to build around them, and you build around Yovani Moran, Jorge Alcala. You got two righties and two lefties right there. Theobar as a third lefty if you need him. And I think Yennier Cano is going to factor in as well with a good fastball and decent stuff. So I'm hopeful that the bullpen can be reconstructed in a rather, I'd say, efficient way this offseason, but we'll wait and see what they end up doing. Twins lose to the Yankees. Sucks. I mean, they just can't get out of their own way. The good news is they don't play the Yankees again until next season, so the pain is over against New York for now, the evil empire. They've done their work against the Twins. I think I'm going to say mercy at some point. Thanks again for listening. Follow me on Twitter at NashWalker9. Follow the show at Locked On Twins. Go Twins. Doubleheader tomorrow with Cleveland. We'll be back with an episode. Thanks again.